Jasper Ford, welcome to LA, welcome to La La Land, welcome to Hollywood.
Sorry, what was that accent you were using? I wasn't quite sure. Is it a sort of, you know, Welsh slash Indian or something?
Mid-Pacific.
Oh, right, okay. Okay, just keep the vowels long, you know, for the English.
Sorry, that was my Canadian.
Yeah, sorry. The easy one is like, not awesome, but awesome.
Awesome, yes. Awesome,
yes. Yeah. That's more like
You're the weirdest person I ever saw. That's how you practice your American accent.
You're the weirdest person I ever saw.
Yeah, well, you got a ways to go.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 173, Shades of Grey. Friend Jasper Ford is the author of two wildly popular ongoing series of books, the Nursery Crime series featuring Detective Jack Spratt, and The Air Affair, The Well of Lost Plots, Lost in a Good Book, Something Rotten, and First Among Sequels, all featuring the literary detective Thursday Next. But for his latest book, Jasper has branched out into writing what he calls, quote, a proper novel called Shades of Grey. Jasper's international book tour brought him to Los Angeles recently, and he was good enough to sit down with me and chat for the podcast.
Okay, well, this is a bit of a departure from me. In the Thursday Next series, Nursery Crime, I've been stealing wholesale. I mean, paying homage to other people's characters. And in this one, I thought I'd actually try novelling. Proper writing.
Like a proper author.
Yeah, like what proper authors do.
Well done, you!
I know, it's fantastically good. And I thought, well, how hard can it be? And actually, it really is quite hard.
Oh, blast.
Yeah, I know. So I thought, well, let's have bit of fun and take the idea of a sort of post-catastrophic, you know, post-apocalyptic novel set about 800 years in the future in a new society run on the basis of visual colour, where if you can see purple, you're at the top of the stack, and if you can see red, you're at the bottom, and if you don't see any colours at all, you're a sort of faceless drone of the collective.
Wow. So is this a thinly veiled attack satire on racism? These are coloured people?
No, not at all. I mean, actually, it's really sort of based on the British class system, which I kind of vaguely know something about, you know, coming from Britain. It's one of our biggest exports, actually, down the centuries.
Yes, thank you for that, by the way.
Yes, actually, well, it's not something we're terribly proud of, you know. Anyway, so I thought, well, let's take this sort of colour-toxicy idea and then, you know, put some characters in it and see how it all works out. And it's great fun just sort of playing with visual colour and stuff like that.
Well, it sounds, you said it's 800 years in the future and something bad has happened, and yet it sounds full of color. It sounds like a musical version of Blade Runner. Is that
a musical version of Blade Runner? Well, maybe a sort of Eton, you know, the public school Eton in Britain?
Yeah, Eton. Heard of it.
Eton run by the Khmer Rouge. That was sort of vaguely how I was kind of sort of...
Wow. So fagging lower school boys and cutting their heads off as well.
Well, that kind of stuff, yeah. Okay. I mean, a world where it's sort of run by prefects and people snitch on you for merits.
Oh, right.
And an odd mix like that.
Oh,
really.
It's Orwellian, it seems.
It is a bit sort of Orwellian, yes.
Is it? Yeah. Well, all right, so, but is it? Does it have those sorts of literary references that you have in your other books? Or, again, it's a big departure.
No, not really. I mean, this is, it's a genuine departure. I mean, this is, I don't really sort of reference anyone else at all.
But I did hear your talk tonight at the bookstore, which was fantastic, and so instead of ripping off paying homage to literature, pardon me, you are paying homage now to the color wheels of Farrow and Ball and Restoration Hardware and those color swatches.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just like the idea that in a sort of black and white world, you know, how much would you pay to get a lobster that was red? And I think quite a lot, actually. Or how much would you pay to have a shade of yellow? I mean, because in this world, you know, melons, lemons and bananas are all the same colour. And how exciting would it be to have a chromatic independence for bananas?
Well, right. No, in a black and white world, the man who controls colour rules the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Fascinating.
It's just interesting concepts and playing with fun ideas.
So this is a satire? You're trying to learn a something here in America?
No. I'm just trying to entertain people.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, if you sort of read anything interesting into it, then, you know, take that away. But, no, I mean, with all my writing, I'm just trying to entertain. And if I can put a little slight jauntiness in someone's step, you know, as they go from one part of their life to another, then,
right,
then my work is complete and my job is done. It's serious, but it's silly as well. And it's I think it's a nice fusion, you know?
Well, serious and silly, that's what we like to do.
Absolutely, serious and silly. And I sort of have this image of, like, you know, somebody talking about a very serious subject, but, like, dressed as a clown, you know? Like, you're talking about the sort of the economy or you know, and the problems, you know, facing the world, but you're dressed as a clown and you go, ho, ho, with your nose and the bow tie spins round, all this sort of stuff. And people are going, OK, the message is kind of serious, but the delivery is absurd. So am I meant to be serious or what's going on here?
Right.
And it's that perhaps like ambiguity and it's just, I don't know, another way of telling stories.
You're Jonathan Swift combined with Bozo the Clown.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're a fan of Jasper's already, you need no encouragement. Go grab yourself a copy of Shades of Grey. But if you haven't discovered the wonder that is Jasper's oeuvre, if you'll pardon the expression, pick up any of his novels and dive right in. Now, if you're only interested in hearing Jasper Ford, you can stop listening now. That was it. That was sort of our mini reunion, a mini interview. But we had more mini reunions in New York City recently when we were visited by ghosts of Reduced Shakespeare Company members past.
What have we here? Is this a Reduced Shakespeare Company reunion here in New York City?
Could it be? I think it is.
It is.
I've never seen these guys before in my life.
This is Reed Martin and I are here in O'Looney's Pub. And what is it, 5 days before St. Patrick's Day?
Top of the morning to you.
We're getting an early jump. Hey, have you bought your Irish Spring today yet?
Man, yes, but I like it too.
I like it too. Lucky Stars, Green Clovers, but in any event, we've been joined here by David Letwin and Brian Torfey, two aging veterans, let's just say it.
Veterans. Aging, almost as old as Reed and Austin now.
What? Glass houses.
Almost as old, but new. No,
by St. Patrick's Day, we'll be as old as they are.
I think this is one of the few sort of collections of people in which I'm the youngest person.
You might as well enjoy this.
I am. I'm enjoying it immensely.
But I notice you're keeping your hat on.
That's right, because I'm not quite as bald as Reed.
Wow. Wow. Hey.
Nobody's as bald as me.
I wish this were a video podcast so we could really get it. You can put your heads together and make an ass of yourself. Hello.
That's right.
Hey. So, but David Letwin, you are now a master of playwriting. When last you spoke on the podcast, you were getting your master's, but you are still professing, teaching theater in Rutgers?
I am still professing. I am still teaching theater. I do indeed have a master's. I feel life has changed since I've had got my degree.
So,
colors seem more intense. Things smell stronger, more pungent.
Are you saying something about me?
No, not you in particular. Although I do wonder whether you showered after the show tonight.
I did not. Okay. You're very good. You're very good.
Yes, that it comes with the degree. Things taste different. Tomatoes now taste like praline. I can't explain that.
That's interesting.
Ever since I got the degree. Now, you, of course, have a master's degree as well.
Brian Torfey, did you get your master's degree? Have you always had this?
You know, I've always been a master of nothing. But now I'm an official. I'm on paper. No, I have what's called in America an MFA, but in England it's called an AGSMD. As good as shit gets. No, I don't know what I mean.
So now, give us a bit of the timeline, David. When you opened, you were the original cast of the Criterion Theater.
I was the original cast of the West End premiere.
With Adam Long and Matthew Hendrickson.
With Adam Long and Matthew Hendrickson.
And then, Brian, how long were you at the Criterion?
I was at the Criterion about 3 years in all, 3.5 years in all.
Wow.
Over a period of 6 years.
All right. And did you tour at all the hinterlands of the UK, or did you just do the West End?
I never did the hinterlands of the UK, but I covered the tour, so I did a bit of Ireland and a bit of Holland and a bit of Belgium. And I'd sort of like to do Germany, baby.
And so how many shows would you estimate you guys did together? A lot?
We did. I don't know if we'd ever did a show together.
Right. So did you replace? I mean, nobody could really replace David Letwin, but no. Sorry, were you Were you subsequent to him?
I was subsequent to David. I followed David in a lot of his greater roles in life. In fact, with girlfriends as well.
And you've been doing this since high school, I just discovered.
Absolutely.
You went to high school in Los Angeles together.
At Windward High School.
Wow. This is true?
This is true, yeah.
I didn't. This is news to me.
There were many late-night drunken games of Risk that we played.
You are wild men. Wild men.
Risk, can you believe it?
We're nerds. But we smoked cigars and drank, so we thought we were cool.
Wow, in high school.
We had a teacher named Danielle who would invite us over to his apartment, and we'd smoke cigars and drink, underage drinking, underage smoking, underage eating.
I'm sure that's something that the Windward School would like to brag about to this day.
Oh, yes. Well, none of us are really connected with it anymore, so I don't think there's... I mean, I don't know. I suppose we could generate a lawsuit if we really tried.
Well, fingers crossed.
In fact, you know, I feel I was damaged by those times, and maybe there's somebody we could sue, Brian. What do you think?
I think we profited from it, and I am proud of it, and we made wine. We learned not only about wine, we made wine in school, and we had wine tasting class in high school.
In high school, there was a wine tasting class.
You know, that's cool to brag about now, but I hope you didn't brag about it when you were actually in high school. That's just a good way to get beat up.
Of course we did, because we were sophisticated.
Well, and nerds! Religious. Nerds! You're still a nerd!
Exactly.
Now, I don't know, because when you talk about this wine tasting and sort of drinking of alcohol, Austin, of course, you were in a fraternity at Berkeley, and maybe you could tell the listeners some of the things you used to do at your fraternity.
You're goddamn right I was in a fraternity.
Goddamn right, yeah. I had Greek letters all my ass. Yeah.
I was the, it's funny, in the fraternity at Cal, I was an ATO, Alpha Tau Omega, and in the fraternity, I was the hopeless bohemian in the fraternity. But in the drama department at Berkeley, I was the square preppy. So I was torn between two worlds. I was a man without a country, really.
Now, as a professor of theater history, we all know the ATO is what Shep Huntley, Blanche Dubois' fantasy boyfriend, in her mind, he is a member of the ATO fraternity.
That's right.
So you are
based on me. That's based on me.
You. Yes, of course. And of course, Reed Martin acted with Brando in his early years, I believe. Reed,
yeah, you did. You acted with Marlon Brando.
Yes, of course. Yes, I was playing Laura in the original Glass Menagerie.
Brando was actually balder than Reed.
Marlon Brando patterned his performance and look in Apocalypse Now off of you.
100%.
Yeah. Bravo. It's awfully good to see you guys again. Say hello to the UK fans who might have seen you.
Hello, UK fans. I'm home soon. I'm back tomorrow evening.
I'm Rick Walker.
I'm Joe Jane.
I'm Blaine Swin.
And I'm Ross Bryant.
And we're the Improvised Shakespeare Company.
You can see us every Friday night at the IO Theater in Chicago at 8 o'clock. Or you can check us out at MySpace/Improvised Shakespeare.
This is the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Ow!
Where can you see the RSC? We're in Lincoln, Nebraska this week. Then in a couple of weeks, you can see us at Dartmouth in Hanover, New Hampshire, Ithaca, New York, Morristown, New Jersey, Reston and Norfolk, Virginia, then back to San Diego Repertory Theater and the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. in June. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for specific venue and ticket information.
Not only do we have David Letwin and Brian Torfey here at this mini RSC reunion here in New York City, but we got Aaron Crone, high school classmate of Matt Rippey, and who toured with the RSC in Ireland?
Yes, indeed. Yes. Rehearsed in London, did Ireland. 9 cities. Whirlwind.
But we can't get you back working with us because you're working with like real theater companies.
Somewhat real, yeah. We're doing the Bridge project with Sam Mendes. We're built in conjunction with BAM here in Brooklyn and the Old Vic in London. We do a little world tour in between, and then we're in Greece for dessert in Epidavros.
I love it. A little world tour. You know, whatever. Whatever. So, what was it like? What was it like being directed by Matt Rippey?
Matt Rippey, to be serious, taught me basically everything I know.
Well, that couldn't have taken very long.
No, that's true. Just a small handful.
Be very careful how you answer this, Mr. Crone.
No, it was very fun. We rehearsed at the Bedford space there in London, as you know, in Balham, and where we just returned last year, actually, with a little Hootenanny 2.
I so wish I could have been there for the Hootenanny.
Well, we're going to do double Hootenanny this summer, so you should come back. But no, it was a blast. He came to the Helix in Dublin, did the show with us once as well,
okay,
which was fantastic.
And are you based in London or are you based here in New York?
I'm in New York. New York. Yeah, I've been here about 10 years now in New York.
It's so awesome when, you know, well, not only friends of ours, but, you know, Reduced Shakespeare Company alumni get to go, you know, go on and have such fantastic careers. I mean, you've done several versions of the Bridge Project with Sam Mendes.
Yeah, this is year two. He has three in mind. We did Winter's Tale Cherry Orchard last year. We're doing As You Like It, Tempest this year. There's going to be a little hiatus while he directs the new James Bond film.
Whatever.
Yeah, so I just want to be a paper boy that goes, "Your paper, Mr. Bond?" Or maybe like, "Coffee, Mr. Bond?" You know, even if it's in German, I want to use the sort of 50s paper boy voice.
The most fun thing is that Kate Winslet sings whenever she sees him now.
Kate Winslet, you make Kate Winslet break into song?
Yeah, well, Sam had me play the Free Love Freeway from The Office for her by their pool in England. And then she was humming once, and I said, "What are you singing?" And she said, "Aaron, you just make me sing." And I thought, well, there it is. I can die happy.
Wow. And then female voice you heard was the voice of Your Lady Love, Kimberly. Am I right about that?
Yes, that's me.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Welcome to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Thank you.
Matt Rippey, what do you think about seeing all these old chums?
I think it's fantastic. I mean, what a treat. You know, Letwin said that he had a surprise guest coming in, a special guest, he said. Right. And we were like, okay, well, special to you or special to us. And as it turns out, it's special to everybody. Brian Dwarfay.
Well, Brian Dwarfay is just special. You know, short bus kind of special.
And of course, you know, for me, this is special because, as you've heard, I went to high school with this character here. And so we spent our formative years together.
But which high school was this? What was it?
Oh, this is HSPVA, otherwise known as the High School for the Performing and Visual Arts.
But that's awesome. I mean, how many other alumni of this high school are making their livings in the theater or in show business?
Of our circle, quite a few. Mr. Tiger Reel, who's done some reduced shows, and Mark Levinson is still in music. Jason Nadler's a director in Houston of a catastrophic theater company.
That's awesome.
Malston, we graduated from high school, if you can believe it, 5 years ago.
That is amazing.
How did the time go?
I don't know, but that is amazing.
You're not counting the years, are you? Are you counting the years?
His year has about 1,500 days in it.
We went to high school in leap year, so I guess, but it's 5 leap years ago, is the thing.
Yeah, I think we were just after Beyonce, because she graduated from our school.
My sister went to school with Beyonce.
Well, you know, Beyonce, she's doing okay. She's doing all right.
She'll never make the cut for the Reduced Shakespeare Company, but, you know. Yeah,
no, that's true. She
would. One big hit, Austin, and she's going to pop. I really have a good feeling about it. Well, I wanted to say, Brian Dwarfay, when we did the tour of Ireland, came to Limerick because Walter Lewis had to leave for, I guess, like a wedding in St. Louis. We did two blind shows with Brian. We had like an hour to meet and figure out who we were.
Well, I do think that's fun. We don't have. We have a little bit here in this country where somebody will get a TV job and somebody flies to a different part of the country to take over, you know?
Well, and there are more connections. This just gets weird. I mean, it's almost getting creepy because, okay, Aaron and Brian did a gig in Limerick. Brian was telling me that he was in Ireland performing, and I didn't even know that was the show that I directed with Aaron in it. I didn't even know Brian went out there. And then suddenly, Aaron says to me that he knows Christopher, who was UCSD. And, I mean, it's all just coming together.
Well, Christopher went to UCSD with Reed, and it turns out Christopher knows like about 10 people that I know. You know, when Reed and I were at Berkeley, the actors from the Long Wharf Theater came, and they did a workshop, you know, with us college students, like all of us. Now we are giving workshops and shrugging, but they said, great advice, they said in that workshop, there are only 5 people in show business. Don't lie on your resume, because everybody knows everybody, and it's absolutely been proven to be true.
Yes, I think we've proven that. There are only 5 actors, and it's all done with smoke and mirrors.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your new novel via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can interact with other fans at our website, reducedshakespeare.com, and our Reduced Shakespeare Company fan page at facebook.com. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, colorful Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Daniel Rubio. no reason. It is just random. Special thanks to the Improvised Shakespeare Company, who have just been named the Ensemble of the Year by the Chicago Improv Festival. Check them out at improvisedshakespeare.com. Very special thanks to Jasper Ford. If you want to hear a longer interview with Jasper, you can listen to Reduce Shakespeare Company podcast episode number 36, Fan Fordingtastic, on our website or at iTunes. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 173 519ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
I thought you just said, hello, you gay fans, which, of course, I know there must be quite a lot of. I mean, why not? But I just, that's what I thought you said, and of course, that's terrific.
You know, I meant the fans in the United Kingdom, the UK. I didn't mean to just single out just our gay fans.
No, I know that. I know that. But it was interesting. One of those things, as I said, once you get an MFA, you're hearing, your senses.
Yes.
And that's what I thought I heard.
You're so acute.
Acute.
You're very cute. We should go off together.
Thank you.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less.